So it appears that Apple and Tim Cook want to apologize profusely for letting you know about the slaves. They want to apologize for making the slavery obvious. That is what Apple and Tim Cook really, really want the world to know. So anyways, I've been talking about the issues going on with the Wistron factory in India that was producing iPhones for a few days now. Basically, there was a riot there last week. Many employees were not paid for up to 6 months. Some employees were paid as little as $7 for a month's worth of work. You had engineering students coming in, essentially being told that they would get paid a whopping $270 a month, and then having Wistron continually reduce the amount that they were getting paid. And so it was just a complete and utter crap show. So there was a riot there. There was about $7 million worth of damage. The police got called in. 150, let's name them what they are. Let's name them what they are. Labor rights activists were arrested at the hands of the Indian police officers. Right, one labor rights leader was arrested by the hands of the Indian police officers. And what's been really interesting to watch with this particular situation is how Apple is just really kind of silent about it, right? Because they really just kind of sort of want the entire world to know that Indian lives don't matter. I get frustrated about this. Again, I actually care about social justice. Not from the airy-fairy reasons a lot of people care about social justice. I just care about it because I'm in my mid-40s now, and my mid-60s aren't that far away. Like, I'm closer to my mid-60s. I'm closer to retirement than I am to high school, which means I realize, the viability of the Social Security system really matters. And so, I need more people paying into the Social Security system. And so one of the things that I realized a long time ago is the difference between somebody costing the government $40,000 a year for criminal justice services versus them paying into the tax base really is actually very little. Like, when you think about it, again, having actually been an employer, having done a lot of that stuff in Baltimore City and the whole nine yards, right? It actually doesn't take a lot to get somebody to about a $40,000 a year salary. Again, I'm not talking about six-figure salaries. I'm not talking about becoming multimillionaires or any of that kind of stuff. But if you took somebody from the city, and to get to about a $40,000 a year, get some benefits in there, get you to $50,000 a year all told, right? To get you to that, I mean, you got to show up on time. You got to follow instructions. You got to understand what your company actually does. You have to have adequate leadership ability. Let's be honest, adequate's fine. Most managers, we hope they have adequate leadership ability. All right, it doesn't actually take a lot. You don't need high level degrees. You don't need so much of this stuff. You just need, again, people to show up on time, people to have opportunities, and the whole nine yards. And the sad thing is, what you see so much in the United States is the difference between somebody costing the government $40,000 a year for being thrown in jail versus them actually making enough money that they're paying into the tax system. Really, it's just like a little stuff. Again, that's why I talk about the social justice. As I say, my stepfather, he was in front of the judge. And the judge literally told him, the government is going to own your ass. Period. You can either go into the Navy and make something of your life, or you can go to jail. Either way, the government is going to own you from this moment on for a little while in time. Do you want college benefits or do you want to go to jail? My stepfather went to the Navy. He was in the Navy for 23 years, literally ended up teaching at the Naval Academy. He was very good as a boiler technician, right? And then came out and was actually making a six-figure salary afterwards, right? So this was a person that was in trouble with the law so much that when he went in front of the judge, again, the judge said, the government's going to own you. He went to the Navy and made something out of his life, and house and the whole nine yards, right? And so one of the things that I've realized is the difference between somebody costing the government $40,000 versus somebody putting into the system really is surprisingly small. And so that's why I get frustrated with so much of this this crappy social justice out there, because again, it's all morals and ethics and virtue signaling, but nobody really cares at the end of the day, right? It's really easy for Apple to put out signs and bumper stickers saying Black Lives Matter. But then what is the real what are the real actions behind, say, Black Lives Matter? If you say Black Lives Matter, does that mean you're going to open up a St. Louis hub? Or is Apple going to open up some kind of depot repair facility in St. Louis, right? Low level, you know, technology repair jobs. You know, broken iPhones, broken equipment comes in. You can have people in St. Louis. You can train them up. They can do the soldering. They can do the break fix. They can work with Apple. They can get Apple on their resume, and then they can try to move up. And again, if you open up your offices for doing that kind of thing in the middle of St. Louis, you're going to have a specific type of demographic. There's going to be a lot of a specific type of demographic. So you don't even have to be racist when you hire. You can just put help wanted ads, and then you can just hire the people that show up. All right. Is Apple opening up depot facilities in St. Louis? Are they opening up things in Cleveland? Are they opening up again? Who? Hey, look, Baltimore, come on, Baltimore ain't that bad, I guess. Are they doing that kind of stuff? No. What they do is they thump their chest. They put up stickers saying Black Lives Matter. They make sure Apple Music says Black Lives Matter. But at the end of the day. They keep having the slaves. They keep having a business practice that essentially subjugation and slavery is required in order for them to get that $2 trillion valuation, for Tim Cook to be worth over $1 billion, and for all of those, you know, Silicon Valley techs to get paid, you know, $250,000 a year. So again, it is important when I talk about the whole social justice thing. The reason I talk about it is, motherfucker, you need to pay into my Social Security. I think if more people thought about that, I think we might get more people on board from a practical standpoint. But what we see is that with so much of this stuff is that these companies don't actually care about any of the virtue signaling that they're doing. They just want to pretend. And so basically with Apple went to China. Now Apple is moving manufacturing to Vietnam. They're moving manufacturing to India. And so as they start moving manufacturing, we're starting to get more of an idea of how Apple products actually get produced. And it really seems to be about as god-awful as you would think. And so now Apple is coming out, and basically they're apologizing that you saw behind the curtain. If we go over, we take a look at this. This is an article from Reuters. Apple puts supplier Wistron on notice after Indian factory violence. Now you'll notice with this, again, it's talking about Apple putting Wistron on notice and all that kind of thing. One of the reasons why I get frustrated here is, again, with Black Lives Matter, right? During the Black Lives Matter movement, all these GoFundMe campaigns to make sure that during mostly peaceful protests, when businesses were being burned down to the ground that had nothing to do with what was going on, right? There were all of these GoFundMe campaigns in order for people to make bail, right? If you got arrested, you're able to make bail. And again, God bless. It's the United States. You know, right to protest, people want to pay for the bail for people protesting, great. One of the interesting things that I see here is when you have 150 labor rights activists who were arrested by the Indian police that were probably not the most polite about it, when you had a labor rights leader that was arrested by the Indian police that were probably not the most polite about it, and then you see that Apple is stepping in, and again, where is the GoFundMe campaign? Where is the Indian Lives Matter, anything else? No, they're just looking at this from a purely business standpoint. So they are putting Wistron on notice because Wistron is who they care about. They don't seem to care about the Indian people. They don't seem to care about the Indian blood. They don't seem to care about the Indian desperation. Wistron is the supplier. Therefore, the supplier failed. The slaver failed. The slaver made it obvious about the conditions of the slaves. That was the failure. Apple Inc. has placed supplier Wistron Corp. on probation, saying on Saturday it would not award the Taiwanese contract manufacturer new business until it addressed the way workers were treated at its southern India plant. Early findings of an Apple audit in the wake of the violence at the Wistron plant in India's Karnataka state showed violations of its supplier code of conduct, the Cupertino, California-based tech giant said in a statement. Again, when you look at this and they talk about audits, so I know some people out there are like, well, but Eli, they audited the plant. But think about this. This is Apple. Apple is a $2 trillion company that is outsourcing most of its manufacturing capacity. Why did an audit need to be required? Why don't they have permanent staff at all of the factories to verify that all the people are being treated decently per the supplier code of conduct? The reason that you would be required to do an audit after an issue like this is if essentially you're trying to willingly be blind to possible problems. And so basically, if you don't put your staff into the environment to verify that things are going how they're supposed to on a day-to-day basis, business, what you can then say is after the slaves revolt, you go, oh no, I can't believe the slavers were that mean to the slaves, right? They can send in an audit team. It's very important to understand how this is done, because again, when you look at the words and you look at how it gets spun, so many times for the companies and for the governments, it's spun in such a way to make it seem as if they are doing the best that they can possibly do. What? Do you expect a $2 trillion company to have Apple employees on hand at the factories where products are produced to verify they're being produced in a humane manner? Eli, they've only got $2 trillion. Now, come on, don't be ridiculous. Contract workers angry over unpaid wages destroyed property, gear, and iPhones on December 12th, causing millions of dollars in losses to Wistron and forcing it to shut the plant. Apple said Wistron had failed to implement proper working hour management processes, which, quote, led to payment delays for some workers in October and November. And again, to be clear here, what Apple is then saying is Apple had no oversight of the facility to understand that there were problems for at least 2 months. So these are the problems that Apple's audit team was able to find out in a couple of days. And so what this is really saying is Apple had no near real-time oversight of what was happening at a factory producing their equipment, so that at least 2 months of wages that there were major problems with. That's what they're really saying. Like, they're trying to say, well, Apple said Wistron. Apple said, it's kind of like being married. The greatest thing about being married is you always blame your spouse. My wife used to get mad at this. Until she understood the game. It was kind of funny. Like, because we've been together about 15 years. So, like, the first 5 years of marriage, it was kind of sad. Because I would always blame her. And she'd be like, why do you always blame me? And it's like, because I don't want to deal with it. And then she came to me. It's like, oh my God, Eli, you're right. It's amazing. I was like, what? She was like, yeah, well, I was talking to like the contractor or whatever, and I had a problem, but I didn't really want to go the back and forth. So I just blamed you and they fixed the problem. I was like, yeah, it's great. That's how it works with spouses, right? You know, you walk in, like a contractor's doing some work, and you have an issue. You have an issue with what's going on. But if you have an issue, like you have an issue, it gets into like this ego argument between you and the contractor, and things can get stupid. And so, like, what I learned a long time ago. It's like, hey, yeah, man, I see what you're doing there. That's pretty nice. Here's the thing. You know, my wife. It's not me. My wife sees that. She's going to lose her mind, man. I don't want you to have to do an extra 50 minutes of work to clean that up. But I'm telling you, I'd leave it. Wouldn't care. Pay you the full bill. But I'm telling you, if my wife sees that, she's going to have you come back. It's going to be a whole rah-rah. Can you just fix that now? Yeah, I understand. I'm married. Yeah, okay. Right, that's what you do. With a relationship, you always blame the other person. And then you get to walk away like the good guy, right? I don't want to cause any problems. I don't want to cause any issues. It's the other person, right? But notice how they're doing that here. So what's happening is Apple said Wistron had the problem. Wistron. It's not saying that Apple did not have the proper checks in place to understand that there would be issues at this level. What they're saying is, well, I would have treated employees well. It was Wistron's problem. Wistron on Saturday admitted some workers of the plant at Kanarka. Again, I love how they say like some. What does that actually mean? Kanarka's Neraspura had not been paid properly or on time, and it was removing a top executive overseeing its India business. And so again, so they say they have a top executive that is being let go from the Indian business. And apparently Apple did not seem to have the oversight to understand what was going on. Quote, our main objective is to make sure all workers are treated with dignity and respect and fully compensated properly, Apple said, adding that it continued to investigate issues at the plant. again, our main object, do you think that's their main objective? If their main objective is to make sure that all workers are treated with dignity and respect and fully compensated, why don't they have staff on hand? Again, a $2 trillion company does not have staff on hand, apparently, at these factories. So really, is that actually your main objective? It is manifestly not. A company of this size that requires this much manufacturing capacity, if they don't have people on site to verify what's going on, it is obviously not their main objective. Again, and it is important to understand here from a business standpoint. Like, sometimes you have businesses that are in like one business and then they have to kind of sort of get into another business in order to get something done. Let's say like a cable company. I remember I saw the CEO of Comcast years ago and he was talking about DOCSIS 3.0 and what they were doing with cable, internet over cable and all that kind of stuff. And so one of the things is for Comcast doesn't really want to be a hardware company. At least, I don't know what the hell they're doing anymore. But at least back in the day, they didn't really want to be a hardware company. But in order to sell their services, they needed better quality hardware out there in order to be able to sell more services to their customers. So they had a research arm, and the research arm would develop all of these different products. They would actually develop technologies. And basically the idea was, hey, look, we found this really great technology we want to use. Build it. Right, and so then they would go to their partners, Netgear, D-Link, or whoever else, and they would say, look, we created this, we verified this is what we want, now put it into your damn product so that we can buy it, right? And so if you had a company like Comcast, and let's say they needed to do possibly even a significant run of hardware, again, not necessarily a small run of hardware, but let's say 1 million or maybe even 10 million devices, let's say they come out with some new cable modem, they want to prove it works in the real world, so they're going to do a run of 10 million devices, right? Comcast is in the business of running cable. Comcast is in the business of making sure the communication works and all that. They just happen at this point in time, they need to be able to push out 10 million units. So if Comcast, right, if Wistron was producing Comcast modems, and then there was riots at the factory producing Comcast modems, it still kind of sucks. I mean, let's be honest, it still sucks. But intellectually, you grasp, Comcast doesn't want to be in the damn hardware business. They were told that everything would be produced in a proper way. They were getting the product at the price point and the quality they wanted. And so, yeah, should they have paid more attention? In a perfect world, yes. But you get, they were doing even a 10 million is still a limited run. The important thing to grasp here is with Apple, Apple is producing millions and millions and hundreds of millions of devices, right? They are a hardware company, right? At this point, they are iPhone, they are MacBook, they are Mac Pro, they are Apple TV, they are a hardware company. And so for a hardware company to be like, how were we supposed to know what was going on with the factories? That's where things get absolutely ridiculous. And again, it gets to be disgusting to see how Tim Cook, again, a loud and proud gay CEO of the most valuable technology company in the world. Again, you would think somebody who would understand that human rights really matter, right? Again, I don't know. Take Larry Ellison. Let's be honest. If you found out that Larry Ellison was running a couple of slave plantations, would you be surprised? Would you be? I'm not saying he does. But if you take a look at Larry Ellison, you know how Larry Ellison does business. You look at his quote-unquote identity. If you knew he was running a couple of plantations, would you be shocked? I don't think anybody would be that shocked. It'd be horrible. Smack him on the wrist. Smack him on the wrist. Fine him $1 million. But anyway, but the interesting thing here is like with Tim Cook, again, Tim Cook, loud, proud, gay CEO, should understand the values of basic human rights and how those things can be taken away from you and all the problems that should go along with that. And it's interesting to see how that, again, that identity of a person does not seem to be protecting the people that you would think that they would protect. Again, this is where I bring up like, Marissa Myers. Remember when Marissa Myers became CEO of Yahoo? It was really interesting, right? Because all the social justice people came out and they're like, yay, Marissa Myers is going to be CEO of Yahoo. She's going to prove to all the boys how a modern CEO should be. And then it was really curious. Like a month or two later, Marissa Myers just started killing all work at home. So this was like 8 years ago, eight, 9 years ago, maybe 10. I don't know. Whenever Marissa Myers came on board, Yahoo had a very lenient work at home policy. So a lot of people worked at home. And this was very valuable for single parents and especially for single mothers, right? Well, Marissa Myers came in. She realized Yahoo was kind of screwed from a business standpoint. And so she started killing the work at home program. Basically, people that really could work at home, they could still do it. But most of them actually had to start showing up at the office because essentially she needed to get the company back under control. The company was bleeding money. They weren't putting out products that people actually cared about. So she needed to get people back in the office so that she could do proper management. And what was really interesting there is a lot of the feminists and a lot of the women's rights people screamed to high hell how she was like throwing the women under the bus. How, as a woman CEO, are you doing this to the single mothers at your company? And it was really curious. It was like, well, because, you know, at the end of the day, being a CEO is basically being a CEO. I mean, like, are there differences? Is there a difference between a white CEO and a black CEO, a man CEO, a woman CEO, a cis whatever CEO and a transgender CEO? Like, are there going to be some differences? Yeah, of course there are going to be some differences. Are the differences going to be as big as a lot of these social justice people think? No, not really, right? She came in, yeah, maybe she was a little soft around some edges, but, you know, the stay-at-home moms or the single moms basically had to figure it the hell out because at the end of the day, Marissa Myers had to try to turn Yahoo around. She failed. Again, one of the things I bring up with Pew, right, our old mayor in Baltimore City, one of the reasons I lose my mind at Pew is I thought we were getting a nice accountant. I thought we were getting, this black lady, she was this nice, older black lady, looked like an accountant. I was like, yes. Baltimore City's gonna get a nice older black lady account. That is exactly what this city needs. We don't need somebody going out to the playing music at Artscape. O'Malley used to play. I forget what he played. He played some kind of music at Artscape. You know, you had these other mayors of Baltimore that go out there. They're all glammy and glitzy and all that. They looked really cool. How much they did, who the hell knows, right? You looked at Pew, you're like, yeah, Baltimore City needs an accountant. Figure out the money coming in, the money going out, figuring out how to improve efficiencies, all of that kind of stuff. You know where Pew is now? She's spending 3 years in federal prison. Because the black lady accountant screwed the hell out of Baltimore City. She was selling these weird books. She was selling these books, but not even sending those books. Oh, it's whole. She walked away like $700,000. And again, the interesting thing you realize is that just because somebody has a particular identity doesn't mean they're as quote unquote progressive as you may think. And so that's one of the interesting things I see with this whole Apple. And again, why it's so frustrating is you have a CEO that's supposed to be of a certain identity. So when he comes out as a person of a certain identity and he talks about lives mattering and all that kind of stuff, a lot of people buy into it. But then on the back end, he's running slaves. And again, the company doesn't really seem to want to know about it. $2 trillion company, they should have staff on site. Quote, this is a new facility, and we recognize that we made mistakes as we expanded, Wistron said in a statement. Some of the processes we put in place to manage labor agencies and payments need to be strengthened and upgraded. No crap. But one of the big questions here, though, is Wistron is saying that, but where was Apple in this situation? Apple has been outsourcing for decades at this point. It's been helping spin up factories for decades at this point. Apple should have a blueprint for how this is done. Again, it makes a lot of sense to have outside contractors produce electronic type of equipment. Again, especially in the world of Apple, They're going to produce a lot of iPhones or a lot of particular devices in a limited span of time, and then there'll be a lot of downtime. So if Apple actually had to have their own factory, the efficiency would be god-awful. But again, you go to a contractor, they can produce a crap ton of iPhones, and then when that cycle runs down, they can be producing PlayStations. And when that cycle goes down, they can be producing DVD players. And then when that cycle goes down, right, there is a lot of value in outsourcing factory work. I am not not anti outsourcing factory work. My question here is, though, is when a company, Apple, with $2 trillion in valuation, why are they not on site to verify that this contracting company basically is being spun up properly? That doesn't make any sense unless this is a lie, unless their main objective is has nothing to do with worker dignity or anything else. Wistron said it is restructuring its teams and setting up 24-hour hotlines for employees to make sure to make anonymous complaints. Quote, Apple has sent a strong message to its suppliers telling them unequivocally that they need to adhere to its standards, Neil Shah of Hong Kong-based tech researcher Counterpoint said. No, Apple has said put out a strong message to its suppliers telling them keep the slaves quiet. That's what they've really said. They've said the problem here is the riots. The problem here is the riots. That's what Apple is actually saying. In the long run, it should make Apple suppliers more cautious and likely create fewer such public relations headaches for Apple. And again, when you look at this, what does that actually mean? To say it will create fewer such public relations headaches for Apple, it may just mean that they whip the slaves harder, right? You get the police in earlier. You have, you know, intelligence capabilities within your factory. You pay more for intelligence capabilities within your factory. You pay more for the Pinkertons, right? You pay more for the security, right? A public relations headache for Apple is a different solution than actually making sure everybody is treated properly. Manufacturing setback. The Apple probation will delay Wistron's smartphone production and hurt its manufacturing push in India, where it had committed to invest 13 billion rupees, 177 million, over the next 5 years as a part of New Delhi's production-linked incentive plan for smartphone manufacturing. Wistron had plans to make another iPhone model at the Neraspur plant and was planning to hire up to 20,000 workers in a year's time, a source told Reuters. So again, think about this. They had already had problems scaling up. They had problems going from 5,000 to 10,000. And until this broke out, they were going to go up to another 20,000. And so when would Apple have known that there was a problem? It appears the only reason that Apple knows that there's a problem now is because of the riots. But if Wistron had been able to scale up, if they had continued to have all of the problems with the employees, but they had been able to whip the shit out of their slaves properly enough, When would Apple have ever stood in? When would Apple have ever recognized the problem? But it could not cope with the rapid scaling up of manpower and breached several laws, Karnataka state officials found after inspection of the plant following the violence. And again, it's interesting, and they're not really talking about the 150 labor rights activists that were arrested by the police here, or the labor rights leader that was arrested by the police, but they are saying that they breached several of the laws. The number of workers rose to 10,500 from the permitted 5,000 in a short span of time, the Karnataka factories department said in a report, which was reviewed by Reuters. The HR department has not been adequately set up with personnel of sound knowledge of labor laws, the report of the inspection, which was conducted on December 13th, included. Again, how did Apple allow this? So there was the HR department there that did not have a sound knowledge of the labor laws. How can you verify that your employees are going to be dealt with dignity if you don't verify that the HR for your contractors actually know what the labor laws are? Other violations highlighted in the report included underpayment of wages to contract workers and housekeeping staff and making female staff work overtime without legal authorization. The findings of this inspection and another preliminary government audit confirmed the grievances over unpaid wages and poor attendance recording systems recounted in interviews to Reuters by at least half a dozen Wistron workers. The Wistron probation will likely also dent Apple's plan to scale up in India, a market it has bet on to expand its manufacturing base beyond China. So this is just kind of interesting to see. Basically, Apple is doing the bare absolute minimum of trying to control this issue, basically saying that Wistron is at fault. Their contractor is at fault. They have smacked their contractor. Their contractor knows better. And basically, in this somewhere, they talk about they're going to be moving capacity to their other slavers. This slaver has failed to such a degree, we can't trust them to keep the slavery quiet anymore. So we are going to be moving production to our other slavers. And they will know better. They will know to make sure the Indians keep their mouths shut. So, yeah, this is just kind of interesting to watch. This is just kind of interesting to see. And again, what's kind of curious to see here is how Apple is washing their hands of the evil that they're creating. Again, one of the things I talk about in the United States, we need to be treating black people better. Again, black lives should matter. Black lives should matter. If you plug in murder and Baltimore, though, you will see that every single day another African American man is being sent through the shredder. It's a horrible thing. It's a god-awful thing. But here in the United States, one of the problems is when you start dealing with race relations, the criminal justice system, the government, and everything else, it gets really complex, and it gets really nasty really, really, really quick. Again, that's one of the things where, you know, one side, I talk about social justice. On the other side, a lot of people think I'm a Nazi. Because in the real world, it's hard. Again, I had a client of mine in Baltimore, and we were talking about, you know, hiring locals and the whole nine yards. And again, one of the problems he said was that people not showing up to work. Right? He was like, look, you know, I hire the locals, you know, I purposely hire the people from the area, so on and so forth, but so many times they don't show up to work in the morning, or you know, they'll show up late or whatever else. And he's like, it's incredibly difficult to run a business this way. Like, I want to hire locals, but, you know, if they're not going to show up on time, then I'll hire somebody from the suburbs who's willing to drive in, right? That's one of the difficulties. Again, you look at the Baltimore City Police, right? It's good. It's a good fun and games to laugh at the Baltimore City Police. But I was watching this one video, and it was this ex-Baltimore City Police officer. He was real famous about 4 or 5 years ago for bringing Baltimore City to task, and. He was talking about violence with Baltimore City police officers, and the first thing he said was like, "Oh yeah, well they're cowards, they're pansy little bitches or whatever." Right? That's a good buzzword. That's a good buzzword. Having an ex-police officer, ex-military, talk about what cowards the police officers are in Baltimore City, right? That's a good tagline. But the interesting part is if you keep actually listening, he was talking about one of the problems with community policing. So he's talking about in Baltimore City, one of the big issues with community policing is they keep telling the officers, they're like, "Okay, officers, they need to talk with more community people. They need to walk the beat. They need to do all that stuff that you're supposed to do." But he was like, but the violent crime is through the roof, right? There is a murder a day. There's a murder a day, and somewhere between 3 to 4 very, very significant violent crimes. I mean, again, murder is where the person dies. Remember, when you see one person a day dies in Baltimore City, that's the one that dies. That's not the ones that get stabbed. That's not the ones that get shot. That's not the ones that get bludgeoned. That's not the ones that get gang raped or anything else. Those are just the ones that die, right? So if you look at the overall amount of violence that happens in Baltimore City. The interesting thing with this guy, like right after he called the cops pansies, it was like, well, they don't have enough time to do community policing because they're dealing with all of this violence. Again, and that's the whole thing. Like when we talk about decriminalization, right? Decriminalization is a big thing. Should somebody get arrested for smoking a joint? Again, I don't think it's worth my tax money to deal with somebody smoking a joint. Does somebody need to get arrested for being a low-level drug dealer? Again, I don't really think it's worth our tax money to deal with that, right? That's a whole decriminalization process, or basically, you know, people turning a blind eye, police officers turning a blind eye. Like, when you have this many rapes, when you have this many murders, when you have this many bludgeonings and assaults and all that kind of, you can't decriminalize somebody getting stabbed. Like, well. We were going to send a police officer over there, but you know, that guy only got stabbed with a 4-inch knife. And what we've realized is from a criminal justice law enforcement perspective, it's not worth going after people that get stabbed with, you know, 4-inch knives. If you got stabbed with a 7-inch knife, now that would be something we go after, right? Then you get to Baltimore City, and there's all these problems. Again, when I was there, yeah, I was in the public school. So you go to the public schools, and the paint is coming off the walls. I was in one of these things when trying to do funding or whatever for a summer school program. Again, real world about how African-Americans get screwed. How African-Americans get such a bad reputation. It's horrible. I'm telling you all the lessons. KKK people, pay attention. I'm teaching you how it works. Anyways, so I was in this one... I had a vote on where money went for certain things. Anyways, so I went in to do a survey or whatever of this summer school program. So there's a summer school program, and it was inside one of the Baltimore City schools. So you go inside the Baltimore City school, and I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to the instructor, and I'm talking to the manager and all that. And one of the things that, like, one of the instructors lamented was that basically, you know, they're trying to figure out how to keep the kids' attention, right? Because they were talking about they wanted budgets for field trips. And I was like, okay. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's so sad, you know, with the kids is trying to keep their attention so that they stay interested in whatever. And again, this is one of the ways that blacks get, or African Americans, blacks, whatever, get thrown under the bus in this country, right? So you have this program. So you have this program being run by the schools, it gets funding, you get these African American kids in, and then they're just not paying attention. They're just being lazy blacks. So they're trying, like, oh, how can we get them excited? And so, again, there's this whole budget, you know, basically there's a request for all these field trips. And so, again, I'm not anti-field trips. I wasn't anti-field trips with them. But I'm just sitting there. I'm like, that's weird. Because I'm going to tell you, see it. Black kids are kids, right? So if you bring a bunch of black kids into some kind of summer school program, and they're all just lazy and tired and not doing anything, that seems weird. That just seems weird, right? Because they're kids. Again, you want to talk? I mean, again, we're not talking about the institutionalization and the structure. Again, get them to 40, and then we can start being racist. You know, like they're 9 or 10 or whatever. Not that some stuff hasn't said it, but yeah. So I was talking to them, and they're looking around this school. I'm looking around the school. So it was being done in one of the public schools that had been around since like 1950 or whatever. And it was like, yeah. So looking around the school, I see fans up there. Does this school have air conditioning? Do you run air conditioning to your summer program? No. No. So in Baltimore City, where we literally do get to be about 100, over 100 degrees, in Baltimore City, where the humidity can get to be like 150%, oh my God. Like I come in from, like I will fly in from somewhere else and I'll land in BWI and those doors open and it's just this blanket of wetness hits you. Anyways. And so in that environment, you're bringing all of these kids in to a building that has no air conditioning. And then you're lamenting how they just can't pay attention. There might be a reason for that. You put me in this fucking building in the middle of August with no air conditioning, and I can tell you, I'm not going to be the most energetic either, you dumbass mother horror. I'm sorry. What's required to be an educator in the modern world? Because some of these people are rock stupid. But anyway, again, these are so many of the problems that you deal with in a place like Baltimore City. And that's why I get frustrated when you put up these bumper stickers and these signs, and Apple puts up this Black Lives Matter stuff, because it gets complicated and it gets stupid and it gets nuanced. Again, my neighborhood is, you know, huge chunk is African American. We are in a very diverse neighborhood. And how things happen here are not like how it happens in the city, right? It's just, there's so much stuff going on. And so that's where I get so frustrated with these virtue signaling tech companies, is because they look at what's going on in the United States. And again, there's this myth that, well, the reason this is happening is because we still have some people at KKK. Right. Unite the right. So when Unite the Right happened down in Charlottesville, Virginia, that was a big thing, right? That was proof positive how evil our country still is. But I want you to grasp something. When Unite the Right happened, so this was a nationally advertised event, advertised by CNN, right? CNN and all the media companies advertised to make sure all the KKK members in the entire country knew that Charlottesville was happening, right? Air travel in the United States is very cheap. We don't have restrictions. So basically, every freaking KKK member in the United States was able to go to Charlottesville and protest for the Confederate statues to remain and sit there with tiki torches or whatever else. 500 people showed up. 500 people showed up. And that was supposed to be to prove how evil our country really is. 330 million people in this country, and 500 dumbasses were running around with tiki torches saying stupid things. Again, not that they should have said the stupid thing. Well, it is free speech. Not that I agree with any of the stupid shit that they were saying, but it was 500 fucking hundred of them. Right? Again, Unite the Right 2. Unite the Right 2 is the next year. Is the next year. CNN there did their best to advertise, to make sure every KKK member in the entire country knew that Unite the Right 2 was happening. And then what? Like two dozen people showed up to Unite the Right 2. Again, the problems with minority African Americans, really, black people in the country, and all of it, it gets really complicated, and it gets really convoluted, and it's really fucking difficult. It is, right? But again, these companies, they put up all these signs pretending whatever else. And then what's so interesting is when you look at what they are actually doing, you look at what they actually have their hands in, what they actually have the ability to change and do something about, they don't give a shit. Right, Apple, you know, for decades has been outsourcing their factory work. And it, for them at this point to say a factory from a contractor could get spun up and have all of these labor issues and be like, it's utterly ridiculous. It's utterly foolishness. When you see some of these tech companies and basically they're going to these other countries. And again, to be clear, when we talk about globalization, I am 100% for globalization. If you can go to a country and their education is superior to ours, and so you get a better class of engineers, fine. If you go there, and again, like China, they've massively invested in their infrastructure, their rail, their airports, their terminal, anyways. And so basically, you can go there and you're dealing with infrastructure that was built in 2020 versus 1820, what you got in a lot of the United States. Again, I don't necessarily like it. We need to upgrade our infrastructure, but I understand. If you can go there, and for whatever, their cost of living just happens to be less. You know, it's kind of like a Texas version on the international scale. It happens to be where their country is, you know, a lot of resources, a lot of the things that are needed in a modern world, a modern manufacturing context. It happens to be just very inexpensive, so you can go there. That makes a lot of sense. But when you see, like, Apple, and again, these other tech companies, and they're moving their production to places, not for those reasons, but so that they can get the cheapest possible labor. And then even when they've done that, they won't take responsibility to make sure that the people are being treated by a basic set of standards. That's where things get so frustrating for me. And that's where you see now Apple's like, well, Wistron. It's Wistron's fault. It's Wistron's. We didn't do it. We want our employees to be treated with dignity. But those aren't Apple employees now, are they? Apple employees will be treated with dignity. Oh, that's a third level subcontractor. And think about it. This is with like modern world of manufacturing, right? You have Apple. They contract out to a company. That company may contract out to a company. That company is now getting contractors being brought in. So at this point, those contractors being brought in are multiple steps away from Apple as a company. And so they're trying to do the mental gymnastics of washing their hands of it, because they're like, look, we make sure that Apple employees are treated incredibly well. But those slaves ain't Apple employees. So anyways, what do you think about this? What do you think about Apple punishing Wistron? What do you think Apple pretending that, oh, how are we supposed to know? Right? Basically trying to shift all this. What do you think about, again, where is the commentary on the 150 labor rights activists that are arrested? Where is a commentary on the labor rights leader that was arrested? Where is any of that? Where is Tim Cook saying any of those people, they will make sure that the criminal justice system, that they have, you know, a fair due process in the criminal justice system in India? Where is any of that? What do you think about that? Put your comments down in the comment section down below. As always, if you like these shows and you want them in audio-only format, you can get them on iTunes, Podbean, and Spotify. Not everything that I do is clickbaity enough to actually make it to YouTube in a timely manner, so do make sure to go to those podcasting services. I am still doing tech videos. I'm still doing tech videos. A new class will get up, get published. It'll get published probably later today. Doing a lot of interesting things with the Arduino, Raspberry Pi. The next thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to have the Arduino send information to Raspberry Pi. The Raspberry Pi is then going to store that information into a MySQL database. We are then going to pull values out of that MySQL database in order to create a dynamic web page. And then we are then going to have controls on that dynamic web page that will send basically values back into the database so that the Raspberry Pi can then send commands to the Arduino. So basically it's going to be an add-on to the class we've been doing. So the class that'll get published today, basically the Arduino sends temperature values to the Raspberry Pi. The Python script stores those values into a text file. PHP script then picks up that value, shows you what the temperature is with like a little warning light, essentially. You then have a link on the web page. You can click to turn the fan off or click to turn the fan on. That command actually gets stored into a text file. The Python script then picks up whatever value is in that text file to then send a command to the Raspberry Pi. So that's what we currently have going on. That's a class that's coming up. So the next one is I want to take that to where we actually have a database so that we can kind of have some like longitudinal or some historical information to see what is going on and do some other things like that. So that'll be a class that you all watch. Anywho, see you folks in the next video.